Okay, we're recording.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Good evening. My name is Mayor Julia Johnson. It is September 22nd, 6 p.m., and I call this Siege of Woolley City Council meeting to order. Please stand with me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. And roll call, Ward 1, Councilmember Brendan McGoffin.
Present.
Ward 2, Councilmember Joellen Kesty.
Present.
Ward 3, Councilmember Sarah Diamond.
Present.
Ward 4, Councilmember Glenn Allen.
Present.
Ward 5, Councilmember Chuck Owen.
Present.
Ward 6, Councilmember Carl DeYoung.
Present.
And at-large Councilmember Kevin Loy.
Here.
Perfect. All right. So moving on to the approval of the agenda, I'm looking for an approval.
Madam Mayor.
Go ahead, Chuck.
I move we accept agenda.
All right. Do I have a second?
I second.
All right. We have a motion by Councilman Owen, seconded by Councilwoman Kesty. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Same sign. Okay, moving on to the consent agenda, items 1 through 6.
Madam Mayor, I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
All right. Do I have a second?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
All right, thank you. So I have a motion by Councilman McGoffin, seconded by Councilman Allen. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. All right, motion carries. Moving on to staff reports, we will begin with Fire Chief Frank Wagner.
Good evening, Council and Mayor. We got some exciting news here week before last. We actually got our ambulance that we ordered back in October, November of last year. Myself and Assistant Chief Glenn Gardner got down there, and even the punch list items that we had issues with down there, they were able to fix before we left, and it is setting over here in our bays as we speak. We got a few last-minute fixtures and brackets that we're waiting for arrival, and hoping to get that into service here in the next couple weeks, as soon as that stuff is ready to go. Some of the nice features this has integrated into it are the ultraviolet lights that decontaminate the interior of the patient compartment after calls, which helps with bacteria and virus stuff like the COVID-19, as well as ultraviolet light integrated into the ventilation system. So some new bells and whistles that are starting to come out with the new equipment we have, and looks like we are going to be under budget for our ER&R fund that we had. So that's a win-win on that front. Still dealing with some of the COVID numbers and a lot more patients with COVID out there that we're experienced here in the last couple months. PPE is going pretty good. We're staying ahead of the game with supplies, so that is good, except for the increased cost, of course, that we've been paying for some of those items that we didn't used to pay so much for a couple years ago. We're still working hard at recruiting and looking for new residents and volunteers to replace some of the folks that are moving on and moving out with the increased needs of the region as far as other departments and how well we've trained these folks to move on to bigger and better things. So other than that, things are going well on our end of the building, and my vacation to Alaska was perfect other than the rain.
All right, thank you. Chief?
Madam Mayor, I have a question for Chief Wagner.
Go ahead.
Thank you so much. Hey, Chief, just wondering about training of new folks and current folks, and if I recall correctly, we used to be able to do training here in Skagit County with an academy. Is that something that's possible again? And if so, what do we need to do besides sending people to North Bend for training in the academy? Thank you.
That is a great question, and you're right. We had a pretty amazing Skagit County Recruit Academy that started back in the in 1990 was the first one over here at it was partnered with the college and our training officers association here in the county, and they ran sometimes two of those academies a year through the volunteer associations around. And here about 4 or 5 years ago, those started to die off, and just with lack of people that were willing to put the hours in the training. The good thing is we have one going on right now as we speak. Fire District 3 down in Conway Cedardale are running that one, and we currently have two of our folks in that academy, which is an amazing ability to have those folks to get that baseline Firefighter 1 training done. The downfall is we've had those years where we haven't had that to pull from, and which is negatively affecting the amount of folks we're being able to recruit for our resident program, where normally we get these guys and gals right out of the recruit academies and the college program to move in here and stay with us for a year or two to get the experience to move on. But as we talked last month, we're down right now to 8 total folks out of our total 13 available rooms. So, and we're looking at another one that just got a full-time job with Aero Skagit up at Med-7 in Concrete. So we'll be down to 7 by the end of October. So we are frantically looking for some more of those folks that are training ready to go, but we're competing with a large faction of people here in the region that are having the same problem, and good people are being pulled in all directions. And with the COVID mandates coming up in October, it's going to get harder, I think.
Thanks, Chief.
You betcha, sir.
And I am looking for Chief Tucker, but I don't see him. Is there anybody online from the police department to give report? Okay, hearing none, I'll move on to the building director, John Coleman.
Good evening, Council, Mayor. So last night, the Planning Commission had a meeting, and we talked about the things that I updated the City Council on at the September 1st Joint City Council Planning Commission meeting, which is the comprehensive plan amendments, which is the Ruby rezone. So we had our first review of that, and then we also had first review of the Bucco rezone. We also, the Planning Commission also reviewed a request for amendments to the urban village mixed-use parking requirements. I had sent a memo to the council about that at the September 1st meeting as well. And no decisions were made, but we did have a lengthy conversation at the meeting last night and made a lot of good progress. So we look forward to taking up those topics in future months. In the planning department, we received one significant application of note. If you remember, several months ago, the City Council reviewed a request for possibly starting an annexation in the northern part of the city, north of city limits, Garden of Eden area. And we did receive that official petition, a complete petition from the property owners, as we expected, and as the City Council had already approved for them to do so. So we'll begin that process possibly in about 2 City Council meetings from now. We'll have something on the agenda potentially, depending on really staff time and availability. It's been pretty busy down at the department, as you've been hearing over and over, and only mentioning it. So you know, things haven't really changed a whole lot. We're just having a nice busy time, but otherwise things are going well. Our new assistant planner is picking things up quickly, Nicole, she's doing a good job, and appreciate having her. And that's all I have to report for the council this evening.
All right. Thank you, John. Finance Director Debbie Burton.
Good evening. Just an update. We're fully staffed in our finance department, and I really want to recognize tonight we have Serena on board as our deputy clerk. She'll be taking minutes of our meeting. She is doing a really great job in mentoring all the new staff that's come on. She's working obviously very closely with Diane, our UB clerk, and then also training our new part-time accounting clerk, Shalan Meyer. So I do want to recognize the hard work that Serena is putting in, and I'll be giving an update later this evening.
All right. Thank you, Debbie. And I see Chief Tucker is on. Chief?
Yeah, sorry for being late. I went to the motor vehicle accident, got shanghaied into helping out. Just a couple of little updates. During the storm last weekend, we lost all of our radios for a little while. Apparently, they had some sort of glitch in the tower. But we did actually get a 911 center tech to come out and fix all that. Really appreciate them getting out. And the only other thing I've got is we do have one of our officers tested positive for COVID. He's feeling fine. He's been vaccinated. But his significant other, she tested positive. Not feeling quite as well, but, you know, not really sick either. So we've got him precautionarily on leave until we can sort out protocol as to when we can bring him back. And that's all I've got. Thank you.
Could I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead.
You
mentioned that your radio communications went down. When that happens, what do you do?
We switch over to a different frequency. It's not as good. We hit a tower here in town that bounces our signal over to Mount Vernon, and it's a real easy thing for our portables. We then, if we can't get onto that one, we'll go to a radio tower in Burlington, which is kind of a secondary, radio tower for us. We just don't get as good a coverage. Our portables don't get out as well. We're fine on our cars, but our portables don't work. So we do a little bit of juggling. This was the norm for us before we had the tower up on Duke's Hill, that we had poor radio across the board. But now, since we got the tower up here and it's running 99.9% of the time, this is just a glitch caused by the storm.
So you do have sort of a backup system. You're not completely blind.
Yes. Yep. Yep. And as soon as your radio doesn't work, we can switch over to county. We could switch over to Burlington, depending on where we're at, and we're good. But, I mean, we're at this level when we're in normal. We're about 75% to 50% whenever we have to switch to something else in coverage.
Thank you.
Yep. And, Carl, did you have something for me?
Yes, I do, Chief. Thank you. Thanks again for putting out the radar car on Fidalgo. There by township, and once it went away, it has indicated that maybe the next step might be necessary there, and I've had a constituent ask about it, so I'm relaying that, but thank you very much for putting the radar car there. I found it very useful, and my neighbors were pleased to see it, and but yeah, once it went away, we had some speeders come back again, and as we work the process, we hope to see what the next steps are.
We had a rash of window shootings, BB gun shootings, and we've already had the window shot out of that thing once before, and we don't want to have that again, so we pulled it whenever that happened. So,
right. Did that happen on Fidalgo here?
You know, I can't remember. It was all over up and down township and around town. So,
okay. Well, thank you. Keep an eye out for that. Thanks, Chief. Yeah.
Sorry to hijack you there, Mayor. I am done.
No problem. No worries. IT Director Bill Chambers.
Did you say Bill Chambers, Mayor?
I did.
And my mic is not on, so you probably didn't hear me. There, IT Director yep, Bill Chambers.
So still just finishing up some technology for the new finance and transitioning finance employees. Woody Tovar-Cano, the new IT specialist, started last week and is doing a fantastic job so far. Still working on the prep for the cemetery management software. Gwen is working out some bugs in the mapping portion of that. Hopefully he can get that worked out with them. He may need to reach out to Public Works Engineering for some assistance there. Almost done configuring the new DHCP server. That's the server that rolls out automatic IP address assignments to all the hosts on the on our network, and allows them to have unique identifiers and communicate properly together. Also continuing the rollout of the sidrawooley.gov domain for email. I still have some council members and planning commission members that have not responded, and would like to get that wrapped up by the end of the month. So if you could reach out to me, and I'll help you through it if you haven't already done so. We had our quarterly technology advisory group meeting and discussed a lot of planned and current software developments, and also updating the Title VI non-discrimination information on our website and the parks facilities information to link up with our new online reservation system. And that's it.
All right. Thank you, Bill. City Attorney Nikki Thompson.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't have anything of interest to the group this evening.
All right. Thank you, Nikki. And our Director of Public Works, Mark Freiberger, is out this evening. So moving on to City Administrator, Dr. Doug Merriman.
Thank you, Mayor and City Council. I have just a few things. Labor negotiations. We'll talk about people things first for a minute. The Ask Me Union, and that's the Association of State, County, Municipal Employees. We are negotiating that contract right now. We're probably about a third of the way through that. We've got 22 different items that we're talking about in those negotiations. And it's just comparing those items to what we call our comparable cities. There are five other cities that we compare with. And so we're just lining those up to see how Sidrawooley looks compared to our comps like that. That'll probably... We have a target of November to finish that up, so we'll probably be coming back sometime for council to take a look at the agreement that we come up with and looking for approval for that. Right now, we have two positions that are open that I'm working with, at least. Our court clerk position is open as Heidi is retired. We're about a week and a couple days into the open period for that, so we should be filling that, probably at least closing it and getting the applications compiled and everything within the next week or so. And a big thank you to Mickey from the City of Burlington. She's their court clerk. She's come over and has helped kind of fill in the gaps with Heidi being in and out, and is working with the court and working in the office, kind of getting things, you know, keeping things running. So that's been really helpful. The other position we have open is the never-ending application period for the building inspector plans examiner. It's the oddest thing. We have been open for months now and have not had anyone apply. So we just did a new round of openings today on that. I posted it, and within about 5 minutes, we had someone apply. So we were all pretty excited to have someone come in. We're kind of hoping that maybe we're hitting the right advertising spots and trying a couple new things to see if we can get some interest in that position. Other things we have going on right now, we're doing beginning the annual review of utility rates. I know we have the one item we're working on with solid waste and recycling those, but it's got piqued my interest on the other utility funds as well. So we're starting to take a look at those. It's something the city should really do on an annual basis, just to make sure that our rates and everything are keeping up with what expenditures are in our projects and things. tonight on the agenda, we have the final library closeout that we're looking at. So a lot of the work this last week has been getting that project wrapped up. As far as paperwork, we have those punch lists done. Gene at the library is working on a couple of issues. We have a little odor issue down by the restroom. We figured out what that was coming from. There was a cap on a pipe that somehow got popped off and was putting not so nice smells into parts of the library down there. So I think we've got that. There are just a couple other little things that aren't unusual. But once we do close out this project, if City Council decides to do that tonight, then we're holding about $270,000 in retainage. And we'll release that once all the documents from Valdez are approved by the state and the last couple items on our punch list are done. We'll hold that money until that time and do that. On the Public Works project, Mark has given us a couple of updates on the design and details of that. The other side of that is the funding for that. And we're using the local program at the state treasurer's office. We've talked about that a little bit. It's a bond program. We're actually pooling in with a number of other cities. We do one bond issue. And that way we get to share the bond issue costs. It actually comes out less expensive for us. The interest rate, we're a little bit north of 3%, it's looking like. So it's not a bad interest rate right now for that project. We're sending in the last of the documentations and are looking at starting to work on the closing of that funding cycle probably in October to first part of November. And I think that is all that I have for right now.
All right. Thank you.
Madam Mayor?
Yes?
I have a question for Doug.
Yes.
I was looking under the employment page, and there's a is there a new engineering position? Is someone leaving, or are you adding a position?
No, we're looking at adding position. Right now, we kind of want to see what interests we have. Mark has a lot of projects going on right now, transportation projects. And so what we're looking for is a project engineer that can come in and work on those specifically. And we're looking to fund that position as much as we can through the grant programs like TIB and that. It's just hard to try to do that with our in-house labor. It's really nice getting the money, the grant money to do that, but it also puts some strain on our resources like that. So we're going to float that one out there and see what interest we get and see if that's a good possibility for us to do.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Moving on to council reports.
Madam Mayor,
yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
Hi, thank you. Are you able to see the raised hand, or should I be doing something different?
No, that's fine.
Oh, okay. So, Dr. Doug, with the absence of Public Works, I was wondering, could you fill us in on the tree that's across Railroad Avenue in Bennett and the ETA of seeing that road reopening, please?
Yeah, I did. I had a couple of people call in, and one person came in today and let me know about that. So we have a message right out to Nathan to take a look at that. I don't have an ETA on the final disposition of that, but I know the crew is working on it and trying to get to that one, Carl. But I can.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
Yeah, if you'd like, I can find out from Nathan and get back with you on that one.
Oh, that'd be great. Thanks so much.
Okay.
I'm here, Doug. I just didn't want to speak until I was spoken to. We actually finally got that tree cleared and removed this afternoon. About I want to say it was about 2:30, 3 o'clock ish. So it's open and clear.
Great, thanks,
Thank
Nathan.
Thank you, Nathan. Okay, council reports, and I will begin with Councilman Loy.
I just a kind of a passing comment. About comparing Cedar Willy, downtown Cedar Willy to other downtowns. And I was driving through Mount Vernon the other day and I was looking at it. And that's my hometown and I used to hang around there. And, you know, they've tried to change and change it for the last 50 years. But I hate to admit that I actually have come around to liking it, you know, the trees they put in and stuff. And then I drove down Cedar Willy and looked at that and it just looks like Cedar Willy's missing something. So I was just going to ask everybody to kind of keep their eyes open on different cities and different decorate, you know, different things. So because it Cedar Willy just you look down there and there's not, you know, it's just plain. So Mount Vernon, unfortunately, looks pretty good. So I just like to suggest to everybody look at stuff and bring up things to the city council might be able to be done.
Thank you. That's a good suggestion. I think we did at one time have trees that lined downtown, and I'm not sure what happened to them.
But Mount Vernon, I know, like I said, I lived next to downtown in Mount Vernon, and they've redug it up three times since I've been an adult, yeah, trying to get this, but it looks like they might have succeeded now.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Councilman Diamond.
Hi. Turn that on. I just have a couple things here tonight. One, I noticed coming in this morning, we need to update our door for signage. We've say 7 p.m. on there, and we've changed it to 6. So just so we can make note to get that done. Second, one of the major things I've had addressed to me multiple times by several different constituents in the area, in my ward specifically, is some concerns with the high density housing and apartments and all the annexations that are going in right now. It's a lot at once, and I am fully aware of that, and the people that live here are as well. But one of the constituents coined the phrase, and I quote, "Don't Seattle our Cedro." And that's something that was specifically brought up to me, and that phrase has just continually stuck in the back of my head. And I'm going to be real honest, I don't disagree with that. I think people come here to Cedar Woolley because they love the small town, they love the community, they love the feel, and that's really important. And so I realize that there's a big pull to come here. We want to keep that pull, but we also want to keep our tradition and our small community as best we can. And we need to be very aware of the repercussions of how quickly this all happens in everyday work. I mean, our city staff currently is overflowing. We've heard it come from multiple people here tonight of how busy they are and how we need to be looking for more staff. Our city crew, our parks and garbage and everybody are working well beyond, you know, and putting in so much time and effort, and really could, I know a couple of the crews have said they could use an extra person or two. You know, we've got streets that are getting bumped out for future projects in the coming years, you know, or moved to next summer because we just couldn't get it done this summer because we didn't have the manpower. And we really need to take that stuff into consideration when we're moving forward. Not to mention the first responders and the responses, you know, and all of that comes in. So again, passing along the things that I've been discussing with constituents that are coming directly from my ward. The other thing that I have on here that I will also just reiterate my stance, because I received an email about it as well as the vaccine mandates. I personally still do not believe and won't support it from my side. I do believe that everybody has the legal, their own personal rights and reasons not to obtain it. I believe that we should be sharing the resources. We should be sharing, you know, if people have vaccine sites and wish to go get it and all that. Absolutely, share those resources. But I know people, and I have talked to people that have had COVID, that have gone in and had their antibodies tested and test positive for the antibodies, and have gone to their doctor, and their doctor said they can't guarantee that there's any change. I know of a constituent in my area that is diagnosed with MS. She's a mother of three. She's going to lose her job. And her doctor told her she's just going to have to file for disability. She's perfectly capable of working. She's had COVID. She tests positive for the antibodies, but she's going to lose her job because of the mandate. And I personally just, I can't support something like that. And so I'm just reiterating my stance on that.
All right. Thank you. Councilman McGoffin.
Thank you. I would just like to give a thank you to Nathan and his crews. After that big windstorm last weekend, they did a great job cleaning up the areas around Ward 1. So thank you.
All right. Thank you. Councilwoman Kesty.
Okay. Well, I just have a couple things tonight. And it's in light of the recent storm that we had. Many of my neighbors had pickup trucks, a brush, and others let the debris sit in their yard, which led me to think maybe after big storms, we could offer a free dump day at our solid waste site. It might entice people to help clean it up and then make things easier on the street sweeper. So it's just an idea. And I went to check out the wonderful work that our public works crew did at the Northern State Cemetery, the phase one. The parking lot looks amazing, and the horribly damaged graffitied monument has been taken down with a nice picnic table in place. And the bright light pole would make a great spot for a camera to help deter and catch any wrongdoings that may and probably will occur. So I'd like to know where we are at with the cameras and strongly suggest it as a priority for before the next phase two comes in.
Okay. So we have, I've been up there too. Nathan told me about it, and it does look great, absolutely great. And I think it's very honoring of that. It's a memorial is what it is. It's absolutely beautiful. And we haven't moved any further with the cameras. I know that there has been some discussion. I think the problem is trying to figure out how to implement them so that they would give us good coverage. It's my understanding, and I don't know, Nathan, if you want to step in here again, but it's my understanding that we do have, it's a cable that goes across, but it actually detours cars pulling in. So not quite as easy to come in and do any vandalism, but I don't know if Nathan is on, if he wants to say anything regarding that.
Just that the cable that you're speaking of is just kind of the temporary deterrent to keep the vandalism down until we get the permanent fence installed. And that work is scheduled for either the first or second week of October, so... after that's in, then, yeah, the site will be open in the morning, closed at dusk. And regarding the camera, we did research that several months back, and Glenn, when he was in the IT department, identified a kind of like one of the game camera type things. It's a wireless type device, but we just haven't gotten back into it. Our main focus has kind of been getting the permitting for the main project done, and then we can start getting back into looking at that if council desires.
All right, thank you, Nathan.
May I ask?
Yes.
Because, Nathan, the bright light pole is like a super, what looks to be a great spot to put one. Is that like a problem, or would it be a lot of work with PSE to get that to happen, or how does that work?
We could check into it. They normally don't like us mounting stuff on their poles, but it's we could definitely look into it. It's a possibility.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay. Councilman Allen.
Not much tonight except a question for Doug or Mark. The mine is a horrible thing to waste, and I'm losing my marbles, but when is the boring going to begin under the trestle? Or
I don't have all the details on the new undercrossing that we're looking at. That is some time off.
John Liner.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
It's some time off still.
Yeah, that's some time off. We've done the phase one part, which is getting the bridge parts all lined up and everything.
Right.
There would have to be a phase two contract and everything that comes back to city council and the funding and everything to do that.
So they have the pilings in, but they're not ready to...
Correct.
To clear it. Okay, thank you, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you. Councilman Owen.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I don't have much, but I didn't hear a COVID count from Frank. I know it's still out there. It's been all around my house here, and I had two close friends come down with it almost a week ago and still hospitalized and in serious condition. So I just want to remind everyone, I know you're sick and tired of hearing COVID, but believe me, it's out there. So that's why I'm sitting in my house instead of sitting down there with you people. I don't know your lifestyles or anything, and I'm just not going to take any chances at my age. So just remember, it's still there. So that's all I have to say, Madam Mayor.
All right. Thank you, Chuck. And just in case you haven't had a chance to check your email, I did send out today the latest COVID count that came out from Skagit County. And it has a lot of details in there. And if there is something in there that you do not see that you would like to know, just let us know and we will get that information for you. All right. Thank you. And yeah. Councilman DeYoung.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Really thank the hardworking, ever industrious public works crews for really working hard and cleaning up after the windstorm, and especially working on that tree that closed down Railroad Avenue. Thank you very much, Nathan and crews. Also, a big silver run coming up the Skagit, and so if you're fishing, be careful and practice good habits while you're on the beach, on the dock, or in the boat. And that is the report out of Ward 6. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And, that, and I don't have anything more to report. I heard some things that were commented that I was going to speak to, so no need to move forward with that. So it is 6:36, and I'm going to open up the public comment. I ask that if you would like to give public comment, that you give your name and address and keep it to 3 minutes or less. Thank you. So is there anybody for public comment? I see Joe Kunzer, you have your hand up.
yes, I do. May I speak?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. I have my Google timer running. So hopefully you'll get me done on time this time. But I hope you all got my email I sent you today. You know, I want to be clear in my email. I didn't support a vaccine mandate for employment, but I did support, just so we're clear, either a vaccine passport or support for restaurants who choose to have one. And basically that would allow restaurants, when you go in and dine, to say, hey, I'm sorry, you have to be vaccinated for the community safety right now, not forever, but for right now. Like I said in my email, I do not want to see another shutdown or capacity limit harming all small businesses and getting the community at large more angry at more vulnerable communities. You know, we've got this virus going back into our long-term care centers again. You know, we've got these hybrid meetings. We've got having to wear these masks. We're in a situation here where I hope the council can come to a consent and understanding. I prefer the word understanding, that there needs to be an emergency message from the council to the citizens asking them to get vaccinated. Our hospitals are at capacity. Our nurses are at their wits' ends, or our doctors. If we slip into crisis standards of care, our seniors and disabled will suffer the most. And I do empathize with that individual with MS who may lose their job. I hope some exception is made in that case, and some flexibility, because I think we have to strike a balance here. I'm going to keep hammering this issue until I see some action out of the city council, because, you know, again, this is my family's lives are on the line. This is no longer just me. And I don't want to have to be the mask police. I don't want to have to be, God forbid, the vaccine police. But, you know, as your council member Owen said, this COVID-19 is very, very real. And, you know, I don't want to speak for the guy, but for me personally, you know, budgets are moral documents, and you should be spending city-seeing dollars on just asking citizens to please get vaccinated. They're safe. I have two Pfizers in my body, and I want to conclude with this thought, as per my email. One of my pals and I consider this a battle for the soul of Cedro. Either we all stand up as one for the healthcare for all and vaccinations to save all of Cedro, or we all fail. We're deeply concerned for the small businesses, because we don't want Cedar Willie to become some corporate cutout or some bedroom community, but to have some soul and, yes, some density, but also some, variety of housing, and find ways to keep this community going. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Is there anyone else? Yes.
My name is Philip Murray. I live at 223 State Street, Cedar Valley. Nathan, thank you for getting rid of the tree that came down on Railroad Avenue. But I did have some concerns about why you were over there on Railroad right-of-way taking care of the trees that were down over there after the railroad came through with their excavator and moved them off, and you're over there cleaning up the railroad right-of-way, which that's private property. You don't be spending taxpayers' money on private property. And it just doesn't sit right with me. You did that job before you went over to railroad, too. I'm wondering where your priorities are. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else for public comment tonight? Okay, seeing none, it is 6:40, and I will close public comment, and we will move on to new business. First item on the agenda tonight is a closeout request for completion of the Cedar Woolley Library construction project.
Thank you, Mayor and Council.
Yep.
I will take that one. I am really glad to bring this one forward. This has been a long project and a lot of just the strangest project, but it came out really nicely. And if you've had a chance to go through the building, we're really happy with the way it's all turned out. The process that we have finished up the construction part of the project. As you've seen, it's open now. Then we go into the logistics of closing out the project. And there are a number of things that Valdez Construction, our primary contractor, has to file with the state. They have to certify things like wages, that they paid the governmental wages rate per Davis-Bacon. There are a number of different forms and things, make sure that we've got all our releases, we got all our warranty books and everything like that. There's just a lot of things that come with a building like that. So we have those things wrapped up. We have all the sign-offs and everything coming in from the state. There's just a couple more pieces of paperwork to do, and we're done there. But as I mentioned earlier, we are holding retainage. We held 5% of the project as money till the end of the project. And then we go through our punch list and get everything done. They finish up their sales tax reports with the state. Once we get all those signed off and City Council approves closing the project, then we'll look at releasing the retainage and doing that. And we part ways with Valdez and call the project good. This is just one piece of the project. You know, we talk about building the library. This is about a $5.9 million piece of it. There are other parts, too. We had a design team that put it together. We had to acquire the property, and there were different things like that. So even though we have some numbers in front of us tonight, this is just on the Valdez contract itself. I'll be coming back probably in maybe a meeting or two from now and giving an overall on the project so you can see when you put it all together, how did we come out. So what made this project very interesting, not only did we get closed for snow days and wind days that were unexpected, but we also ran into the shutdown for COVID. We lost a month of time in there. It had us concerned just when you have a contractor working, then they close up and go away and come back. Then they're starting to have to gear up again, and you can really get behind schedule. But Valdez worked really hard on this. I think we were down about a month of time in there, but we just kept persevering through there. And costs, I think, the total down costs and everything for COVID probably was around $20,000 to $25,000. That wasn't bad considering we had an empty space there for quite a while. But to go forward with your action tonight, I'll just talk about for a quick second how the outcome of that contract came about. If you go back and look at our previous meetings and things that were approved, the original contract amount was just a little over $5 million. It was $5,018,000. We had about $426,000 in sales tax, and we had a 10% contingency reserve just for what-ifs that came along in the project. When you add that all together, it was $5.9 million. That was our project budget. The contract came in at $5.4 million. We did have change orders. That totaled $433,000. and we came in at $5.879 million. So by the time we cut the last check and all said and done, we're under budget about $67,800. So even with those time delays and everything that we had, we were still able to put some efficiencies in there and come out in the black on the project. So that was, we were really encouraged by that. As I mentioned in the agenda bill, we have $270,000 in retainage. We'll hold that till everything's cleared. But in the meantime, we need to have City Council take action to actually close the project. So the recommended action doesn't have to do with the wastewater treatment plant, like it says in the agenda bill, typo on my part. But it's a motion to approve final acceptance of the library improvement project constructed by Valdez in the amount of $5,879,033. And that's the action that we're looking for tonight.
Okay. Are there any questions or comments? Do we have a motion?
If nobody else will, I'll make the motion.
All right. Thank you, Councilman Loy. Is there a second?
No, I second.
Okay, so we have a motion by Councilman Loy, seconded by Councilman Owen. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign? Okay, motion carries. And I just wanted to add, I actually got to work on the design team. I was on it from beginning to end. It was actually fantastic. And last week, while I was gone on vacation, I received this email that said, it was from David Strauss of SHKS, architect company. It said, last night the American Institute of Architects Washington Council held its annual civic design awards honoring projects that exemplify designs in the civic realm. The awards program is highly competitive since the design community in the Pacific Northwest and Washington State in particular is so strong. The Central Skagit Cedar Woolley Library received a citation. Congratulations. The awards are for the projects, and the recipients are jointly the owner and the design team. If I remember correctly, well-crafted printed awards are sent to both. We are honored to have been a part of this whole process and are glad to be recognized with you in with your patience, perseverance, and your collaboration. On behalf of Pia, Carolyn, and Kevin, David Strauss of SHKS. So quite honoring, very exciting. Okay, moving on to item number two. We have the quarterly finance report as of June 30th, 2021. And Finance Director Burton, I believe this is yours.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. It's my privilege to share with you tonight the second quarter financial report as of June 30th, 2021. So that means we are in halfway through the 2021 portion of our annual budget. And so what you would be expecting to see is for items to be coming in at approximately 50% of our budget. So in your packet, you'll see some text giving you some narrative overall about the things, but I'm going to jump right into some of the graphs. Just as a reminder, the city is main fund that we operate under operations is called our general fund. And so I'm going to go through some of the revenue and expense elements of the general fund. Overall, as you can see from this, from your packet this evening, our general fund revenues as of June 30th are at 70.83%. We do have to keep in mind, however, that the city did receive our first tranche of American ARPA dollars, American Recovery Plan Act dollars from the federal government. And those monies, about $1.4 million is included in that number. But even if we back off those funds, we're still at well over 50% in our total general revenue funds. So here's just a breakout of the different categories of funds. So the top graph here is property tax funds. Our property tax funds, thankfully, are coming in right as we would expect. And as you know, we get those in two main points of time. We get them in May and October, so in November. So we're right on target there. I'm pleased to continue to see the trend in our sales tax revenue. our sales tax revenue is up 57% of budget, but still up considerably even from our 2019 numbers and 2020 numbers. So we are on a good trend when it comes to sales tax revenues. We are looking at getting a program that will help us analyze those dollars a little bit better and better understand exactly where we're seeing those increases coming from what sector are those increases coming from. Next is business and utility taxes. As you know, we do charge a tax on our utilities as well as telephone, cable, and other miscellaneous taxes for businesses. Again, we're slightly above revenue for that as well. And business licenses, again, this is a good sign. This means that we are seeing new business in our community or new businesses doing business in our community, and so we are slightly above budget in our business license revenue as well. That's a good sign for economic development. And as you've heard over and over again, we are extremely busy in the permitting department, and this revenue stream proves that, and all the construction activity that we see out in our community is, this is where this money's come from. So the money is right there as well as the busyness is around town. And then we have the intergovernmental funds. So this is funds that we receive from the state of Washington for things like liquor control, marijuana excise tax, some of our additional tax levies for the ambulance service. And this is where we have categorized those ARPA funds that we have received. Charges for services. These are items like fire protection fees, transport revenues, and some of the additional fees that we charge in our building and department for review and inspection. So just like seeing our pyramids go up, these fees also have gone up. And these are things that are being reviewed for future construction revenues and things that we will see. So that's a good sign. That's a good leading indicator for good things in the future. Other revenues is down. As you can see, we're at 37.55% of our estimated budget. This is probably due mostly to the interest rate environment that we're currently in. So our interests keep going down considerably. So that is how this is being affected. And that's the revenues. I'll move on to expenditures unless I hear any questions. Seeing none, we'll move right on into expenditures. I'm going to present the expenditures by department, but we always like to start overall. It's always good when your expenditures are below the 50%. We like to see the revenues above, but it's exciting to see our expenditures below. So we are just a bit below our budget for this year so far for expenditures. We're at 47.19% of budget. And I'll just go through each of the different departments in the general fund as well. So legislative, which is our council, so you're a little bit over, but those are a little bit of timing issues there. So we know by the end of the year that will work out itself. Our court services is right on target. Executive, that's our executive offices, they're a little bit below there. I think we've had some things that we've held off on investing in, but we'll probably be doing some of those things towards the end of the year, which we thought would happen a little bit earlier in the year. Finance department down a little bit just because we were a little bit short-staffed in the beginning 6 months, but now that we're back to full staff, I'm excited about that. Legal services, a little bit below, which is always a good thing. We appreciate that. That means things are going well. Information technology is, we know we've made a few extra investments in some of our technology purchases and expenditures. So that's a little bit over budget at this time. Excuse me, centralized services. So this is just things that are that is shared throughout the city, different departments, things that we share. So we're fine on that. And planning and community development, I think as you have heard, they are seeking some staff. So they have been a little bit short staffed. So they are below budget at 44.85% of their budget, expected budget. Engineering, doing well. Law enforcement, it's doing well. Fire control, doing well there, just at 47.11%. Excuse me. And then just the general things that we do. These are interfund loan payments, different memberships that we have to pay. And so we are a little bit below budget in some of those items. Some of that is a timing issue of when we would be actually doing the transfers this year as compared to prior years. So, and that last, oh, protective inspection. So this is, yep. So this is, we're also on for there. So I just want to acknowledge all the staff and everybody that's managing the budgets. They're doing a great job. Appreciate, as a finance director, it's one of the things you really appreciate. So I just want to acknowledge everyone for maintaining and managing their budgets. So this here just shows you a cash flow report for the city so far this quarter. So as you can see, our cash flow, the critical point that's important to point out here is that we have to make sure that we have enough in reserves when we actually have to spend more money than might be coming in any given point in time. And at this time, we're all really fine with our cash flow. So the next section of graphs are what we call enterprise funds. You know them as your sewer, solid waste, and storm, and then some special revenue and capital project funds. So although it looks like our sewer is under budget this year, there's a reason for that is that we were anticipating a significant a revenue for the major capital project, and we just haven't made that revenue transfer in yet. So that is why it looks like we are below budget in our revenues versus expenditures. So once those projects start happening, those numbers will even out. But when you just look, when I look at the detail and look at the line item as far as revenues, all of our service revenues are on target. Same with solid waste, doing a great job there. Stormwater. And then this is our equipment repair and replacement fund. This is just the fund that we use to track and put aside monies to be able to replace equipment that we have planned replacements. And so that's what's happening here. We have not done some of those purchasing yet of some of that equipment. But as you heard from Chief Wagner, we did make a major purchase, and so in September we will be caught up as far as on budget for that as well. And then we have our special revenue funds. So this is our parks and facilities funds. They're right on target. A little, you know, some expenditures happen a little bit sooner than we had anticipated, but overall, really close on target. Same thing with our cemetery fund is below budget. And our street fund is also below budget a little bit. And then our arterials, again, a lot of our expenditures have happened after June 30th. And so that's why it looks like we're way below budget. It's not that we won't be spending those funds. It's just that the timing of those expenses is yet to come. So doing well there. Apologize, this is probably very difficult to read, but when you do get into your packet, you'll be able to see this is our investment analysis. A good portion of our money, $16 million, is invested with the state of Washington in what we call a local government investment pool. So this is a pool with over 530 local governments. We all pool our excess funds together so that we can actually get better rates of return. But as I've shared, this money is very liquid, and the markets currently are a bit challenging for those of us that are trying to get a return on our money. So that's in there. And then just recently, we reinvested $1 million and purchased some U.S. Treasury notes, and those are at 0.25%. But those will be at a little longer maturity. So our LGIP funds are very liquid. We can call and have the money the next day, where, of course, our U.S. Treasury note investments are a little longer term. So as you can see on the bottom, when you look at your packet, we have about $3.5 million in funds right now as of 6/30/2021 that's not invested. So that's in our bank accounts. And then the rest of the report in your packet is just the detail. So I'm going to stop sharing my screen and I see that we have a couple questions, so I'll be happy to take those questions.
Mr. DeYoung?
Ms. Johnson, thank you. I have a question for Director Burton on revenues. I am curious. It looks like we are selling lots of gun permits. We're at 170% of that, and that our building permits are about 150% over budget, and is in receiving more money than we expected, and also overperforming the engineering permits. And then also I see on the expense side that our overtime is significant. And so I'm curious about overtime especially. Does that indicate that we might need to have another person instead of paying overtime? If folks are constantly at overtime, that usually indicates to me that another staff member might be required. There's great indication of what we're doing in the city with the building and engineering and planning permits, as Jonathan has been reporting. So good numbers. Thank you for the report. I do have a question about the overtime, please.
Yes, let me just clarify. Are you here's your question regarding overtime in the planning department or a specific department?
I just saw it as a line item. I didn't recall what department that was in. I could do a quick find here and see. Using my search function.
Part of it may have to do with the lack of staff.
There it is.
We had a turnover in staff, so.
Right. We have a 395% on, let's see, it's on page 100 of the packet. I think chart of accounts 514-231-3000, and that's under financial recording of elections.
That is due to the staffing changes that we were having earlier in the year. We were understaffed, and so staff was having to put in extra time. But now that we are back at full staff, you should not see in the future.
All right. Thank you so much. Saw the peak. I thought I'd ask the question. Thank you very much.
Good question. I appreciate the question, actually.
Anyone else? Yes. Yes. Councilman McGoffin.
Hi. Thank you for putting together this report. I just had a couple quick questions. I don't really understand the LGIP. Where did that money come from, and what are the rules around its use? Thank you.
You bet. So the LGIP, the money comes from what we call your fund balance, or, you know, at the end of every year, we have monies left over in each of the different funds. And if we don't need to use those funds, you know, within the next 12 months, we typically allow those funds to go into be invested in the LGIP pool or into longer term investments. So those are monies that were earned currently, but mostly in the past, monies that you had not spent. And then so they're monies that are also sitting in some of your reserve funds for things that you're saving for specific projects at a later date.
All right.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, not hearing from anybody else. Debbie, I got to say it's really great having you on board. You're doing a fantastic job, and it's a sigh of relief to know that Doug does not have to do two positions now, that we've got somebody who's more than capable to do finance, and it's fantastic. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of the team.
Thank you
for the report. Okay. So moving on to item number 3, the City Council Compensation, Ordinance Number 1992-21. And Mr. Merriman.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. This item is regarding should City Council update their salaries to match current market at comparable cities. This came forward through Councilmember Allen. He's made a couple requests for us to put this on the agenda, and per our council operating handbook, we've gone ahead and done that. So this item on here tonight really is for City Council. This is for you to have a discussion about city council salaries, what you would like to do there. I've attached some different information. I did go back, and I believe it was the year was 2008 was the last time a city council had a pay increase. So it's been 13 years. I also include a little bit of information. City council salaries are a little tricky because there's a constitutional prohibition that a legislative body, like a city council, can't receive the benefit of a raise they vote in. If they run again and come back in as a council member again, then they would get that raise. So it's a little squirrely sometimes on how that all works and a little bit more complicated than a typical salary increase. But this item on here is for you guys. The recommended action I had tonight was hold a discussion on city council salaries. And then if you desire to do that, I have a draft ordinance on there that we can talk about. Really all we need to do is decide an amount, and we can pass that ordinance if you desire to do so.
Yes, Councilman Allen.
Madam Mayor, since I've been pushing for this, I'll be the sacrificial lamb. It won't affect, if the council does increase their salary, it will not affect Brendan, Chuck, or myself. And there's nothing in it for me because I'm not going to run again in two more years. So, but this is affecting four council members. And if we don't do it within a month before the election, then it's going to be 17 years before these people get a raise. And, you know, I'm really promoting a moderate income. According to this, we're, you know, on this chart, we're like 19 out of 31, and that would put us like at number 10. And when you start looking at the size of cities, I think a modest increase, like $150 a month, going from $5 to $650, is legitimate. But I think maybe we shouldn't vote on it because you guys might get a bunch of blowback. You know, we should vote on it probably the next meeting is my feeling. But I'd like to hear your views. I'm really willing to go like $500 to $650 a month. I think it's fair, and after 13 years, it's. I think do. So anyway, thank you, Madam Mayor.
You're welcome.
What was the dollar amount? I couldn't hear that part. you were talking about?
It would go from $5 to $650 a month.
Okay, thank you. So is this just a discussion, or is this?
Well, it's whatever you folks want to do. The reason I ran last time is I just really got fired up when they were promoting a $400 a month raise, and that's what got me to throw my hat in. And it's weird now I'm the one promoting this, but I think it's only fair to the council.
Well, I agree with Glenn that 13 years is a long time, and when you and how they'd like to compare city to city when you. When you look at the cities around us, they took care of this a few years ago, and they all went up quite a bit. So, but it you got to think of it for the future, and I think whoever's here deserves more.
Well, I personally don't do it for the money. I would do this even if it were free. But on the flip side, if it is going to have a raise, I would like to see it in small increments so that it doesn't come in like the next 13 years. And you're like, now I think it's 900 to catch up with everybody else. Or if it was just the teeny ones, then it wouldn't have, you would just be on par and it in the discussion. So that's how I feel.
I'd kind of like to go off of that too. I remember back when this was an issue going to 900, there was a significant blowback from the community, and I think we need to be careful that this is not really supported by the community to increase it greatly. So one of the things that I thought about was kind of like what Council Member Castillo was saying, the incremental upgrade. Every year, it's at the end of the year, there's a salary review. It's usually based off of the consumer price index for that year. And if I recall correctly, and Doug, maybe you can help me out here, I think the majority of our staff and the mayor received that increase according to that number. And I think that would be a time that maybe the council for that year could decide for the next council that would be elected if they would receive any increase. Is that something the council could do?
You could do that. Part of our, you know, we've done annual budgets in the past, and each annual budget we've brought forward a salary ordinance, and that primarily covers staff. But at the very same time, what would be a good practice is to do a second ordinance for elected officials and just get into that routine of when you're talking about the budget and you've had those discussions and know how the budget looks, you talk about staff salaries, that you talk about elected official salaries at the same time. It would just make sense, and that would be a good timing and a good way to do that either on an annual or on your election cycle basis, so you don't get those 10 or 13-year gaps before you have that conversation again.
Excuse me, Madam Mayor. Is that legal to do?
Yes, it is.
You're not raising your salary while you're in office?
No. No, but you do have to keep in mind that if you pass an ordinance that does change the salary, you may not, you won't. In fact, if you're voting on that, you're actually voting for the next group of council members, whether you're reelected or it's a new person. So you'll always know that when you vote on that salary increase, it's not for you, it's for someone in the future.
Which is what we're doing now.
Correct.
My suggestion, go ahead. I thought you were, okay. I was just going to say my suggestion is to make it into a motion and run it through and see what happens. Your turn.
I was just going to say I personally came on board not even looking into what the pay was and didn't expect that. So I'm definitely not here for the money, but here to try to do what's right for the city of Cedar Woolley and the people that live here. But I would have to say that if it was something for pay increases, that I think that Brendan's suggestion would be the right way to go about it, because I do believe that the review for all city staff should be included and taken care of as it is, and then looking forward to the future and not for ourselves, because that's really not why we're here. We're not here for ourselves.
Could you explain what you mean by incremental raises? You talk about every year, every 4 years?
I'll go for it. So I think if we were to take this up, you know, the next salary review, the consumer price index for this past year was roughly around 5.4%. So we'd be looking at an additional 27 per month, 324 per year, and then a total of 2,268 for all the counselors as an increase. So I think that's a modest, it's a small amount, but I think, you know, if you do that review every year, you don't fall, you know, 13 years behind where you have to do a major jump. You handle it every single year.
Well, I disagree with Doug. I don't think that would possibly be legal, because you don't know what the budget for Cedar Woolley is going to be in 2 years because you haven't voted on it. So you can't raise your salary every year. You can't vote on it every year because you won't get it. You got to go every 4 years.
It'd actually be every 2 years because you've got elections every 2 years.
Yeah, but for each position, it'd be every 4 years. Like, number six would be every 4 years, and then number one, which one is it? Would be number one is every 4 years, but they're offset. So you don't run every 2 years, it's every 4 years.
Right. So the raises would only be effective every 2 years and only as to either three or four council members.
I'm not understanding. Say that. Give it to me again.
So the raises would only be effective every 2 years and only then as to either three or four of the council members. Because there's an election every 2 years for either three or every four. Either three or either four.
Okay. Well, are we talking about an election, but like a public election for positions?
Yes. And so if you voted for an increase this year, it'll be effective as to the four that are up for election this year, right? So in January, it's effective for those that are newly taking office or reelected.
Right. And they would be up for vote again in 4 years.
Right. So, but if you voted again in 2 years to raise the salary, it would be effective against the three that didn't get the raise this time around.
So you'd be given half, half the council raise on odd years.
Correct.
So then it just doesn't seem legal to me because you've got to run every 4 years, and in 2 years I can't vote on a pay raise and get that.
No, you wouldn't get it in 2 years if you were the one voting on it, yeah. But the other three positions would.
I give up.
Can we do it incrementally? Is that legal, or do we have to do kind of like a hogger-dogger and just put a cap? How does that work?
You could do it based on the CPI, but again, it's only going to be effective against the four that are taking office in January.
Oh, that's understood, yeah. I understand that. Like I say, I won't see any benefit because I won't get a raise and I won't run again. So I'm just bringing it up and just to stir the pot. Okay, thank you.
Any more discussion? Comments? Questions? Carl, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I believe the last time we discussed this was in 2018, and at that time it was the remnants of that council, are Chuck Owen and myself, and of course, yourself as mayor. And we had quite the robust conversation in 2018. And I remember quite clearly the last conversation, of which there was an understanding of a commission to review pay based upon certain factors that commission would come up with. I'm not aware of that commission being formed in the past 3 years, and it seemed like something that people wanted to have happen. So I'd just like to reflect back on what happened and why we didn't get that commission, very similar to the civic service commission that sets rates for our public employees, et cetera. I'd like to know what happened to that program.
Yeah, I'd like to know about that too. I actually don't remember that conversation at all. Do you, Doug?
No, I think there was an option put out in 2018 for a commission like that, but there was never any action taken to actually implement that.
I did review that video, Mayor, and that is something that I'm sorry, I have that advantage right now, and it is something that had an understanding of the council and the folks that had come to give public comment. I know that I had spent 8 weeks surveying the Ward 6 and talked to over 120 people and got direct feedback. I'm interested to know where the feedback that other council members have reflected upon, saying that there's major resistance. I'd like to know where that data comes from and how that was came about, that methodology. But I can speak to what Ward 6 was feeling from that sample group in 2018. But I am very interested in when we do come up with ideas, especially something of this note that the public is extremely interested in, because we do want to be transparent. When they come up with a great suggestion and then nothing comes from it, it's just something that I'd like to reflect upon.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
I'd just like to add, I do remember hearing a public comment at that time regarding the salary commission. And maybe Nikki can help us out. Is that something that other cities do? Is that allowed?
Yes, actually, it's a fairly common practice. Many cities do have salary commissions, and it does create some efficiencies in that the salary commissions, they review the data, and then they make a decision that is effective as against all of the council members. So in that regard, it is a bit more efficient because there is no question about which three or four are being paid what. And I guess it's probably easier to manage in some ways. And then, you know, also salary commissions, I've seen them make decisions to include either like a CPI increase or an increase tied to the non-represented employees' COLAs, things like that. And those then just stay in place until the next time the salary commission meets and makes a decision.
Thank you. How would someone be put onto the salary commission? What's the process for selecting the people?
So typically the mayor appoints the commission members. Usually there's a process where it's confirmed by city council. But I'd have to take a peek at your code and see what it says about salary commissions. If you have code provisions related to salary commissions and how those are appointed. But typically it's a mayoral appointment followed by council confirmation. And then they meet independently. They usually have a staff member assigned that helps to gather the data and do a comp analysis. And then they come back with a decision, and that decision sticks until the next time that they are asked to meet and make a decision.
That's what I recall from 2018.
Yeah, I might add one piece into that. Because that decision-making is done in the commission as a body like that, it's not city council making that decision, then whatever that decision is, it goes into effect for all council members at the same time. There isn't that overlap or waiting for the next election or anything like that. So it does change. It makes it a little bit more even across the board for all council members.
Yeah, if that's what the council would like to do, we could do that. I think, in my opinion, it takes the political piece out of it, which would make it easier on all of you, in my opinion.
Yeah, that would be what I'd like to see, too, is the commission with some inputs into, you know, using the data from the community, whether it's the, you know, the CPI or COLA as part of the decision-making process.
So my concern is this, with time running out, I know that this is something that's important to you, Councilman Allen, with time running out, do you want to, I don't know how quickly we can pull a commission board together and have them make a decision within, you know, a month or something like that. I don't know that I'd be able to do that, so...
Well, the election is November 2nd, right?
Mm-hmm. That's a month away.
Yeah, that's not that far. You know, that's one of the reasons. I appreciate you and Doug bringing this forward. Mm-hmm. I think it's something that needs to be discussed.
But my concern is that in trying to pull together a commission, mm-hmm. it may not be done in time for anything to happen for those who are coming in, or for all of you, actually, in 2022. Yeah.
But actually, commission decisions are immediate, and they apply immediately and across the board.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't have that timing issue around the election. We could just go ahead and proceed forward. Their decision is made regardless of what the election cycle is.
Oh, great. Okay.
Well, thank you for bringing this forward. So.
Mm-hmm. Madam Mayor.
Yes, Councilman DeYoung.
Hi. Thank you. Do you need a motion for this, or do we have a sense of consensus that we're directing you as the mayor to form this? And do we need to give you direction of how many people will be serving and the kind of qualifications that we're looking for, et cetera? How will that process go? I'm interested in that. Thank you.
So it sounds like that this is something that's pretty common, that it's out there, and so the information can be pulled easily. We can pull it together and see what other cities are doing. I think I am just looking for a general consensus from the council. So if somebody wanted to make a motion to do that, that would be great, and we could take it from there.
Madam Mayor.
Yes.
This is Council Member DeYoung. I move that we direct you, Madam Mayor, to form a salary commission regarding council salary, mayor salary, and what was the other one? Not covered by a collective bargaining agreement salary.
You're making a motion to do, say again?
To have a salary commission for the city of Cedar Woolley.
Okay.
That would be limited to unrepresented personnel, to the mayor, and to the city council.
I don't think
so. Just for a point of clarification, that is not an appropriate scope for a salary commission.
Okay.
We can't include non-reps. That salary commissions by law are limited to elected officials.
Okay, pardon me. I had misunderstood what you had said about unrepresented folks, so excuse me. Madam Mayor, I'd like to now make this motion that would, I hope, is in order, is to for the city of Cedar Woolley to form a salary commission for elected officials to be appointed by the mayor and confirmed by the council.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Councilman Miller.
Okay. So we had a motion by Councilman DeYoung, seconded by Councilman McGoffin, that we put together, that the mayor has been instructed to put together a salary commission to look at salaries for the elected officials. And what was the last part of that? I didn't write it down.
That the council would confirm.
And the council would confirm. There we are. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 And opposed, same sign. Okay. So that's what that's what we will do. Okay. So let's see, looking at the agenda. Let me see here. All right. We do not have an executive session tonight. Our next meeting will be October the 6th at 6 p.m., so a couple weeks away. You all have a good night. We are adjourned.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.